I'll try and keep it together here. It's not my strong point, keeping it together. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans, the 6th chapter, and verses 1 and 2. We'll start right there.
Right.
What shall we say then? Mm-hmm. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Amen.
As I was studying for this message this evening, the scriptures came to my mind. I had a multitude of scriptures come to my mind. This was the one that came to my mind at first to start with. And I remember a message that Brother Decker preached many, many years ago. Most of you were probably, you know, little when he preached the message. And his burden on the message that day was that so many people in their walk with God, they struggle and they struggle and they struggle.
Right.
And they struggle.
Right.
And they struggle. You know, they get prayed for, they struggle some more. They get prayed for, they pray, they struggle some more. And that some people get to a place where they just accept that they're not going to get over it, they're just going to go on anyhow.
Right.
So I'm just going to hold on to this one thing. So I can't seem to get victory over it. So I'm just going to keep it. And I'm just going to go ahead and just try and go on. I'm still going to raise my hand.
Right.
I'm still going to sing in the choir. I don't want anybody to think I'm not saved.
Right.
I might even testify. I might even be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe right. A preacher. Who knows? But I remember him distinctly saying that people, they just give up on the fight and they just decide we're just going to go on and try and be a Christian anyhow. A Christian. Anyhow. Young people, God has so much more for us than that.
Right.
He has so much
Amen.
More. I think that people get in their minds sometimes, they just, I'll just keep at it. I just keep coming to church. Just, I'll keep singing the choir. I keep doing what's right. Without ever getting that victory, maybe it'll get better. Trust me. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better.
Right.
God has so much more
Amen.
For us than that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. I feel like today there is and it's nothing new today. I feel like there's a great need of honesty and openness. We'd like to deceive ourselves sometimes into thinking things are okay. I'll give you a good example. Years ago, it's hard to believe, most of you wouldn't know this, but I used to do a lot of altar work here in a congregation here before I got away from the Lord. When you work with people, you go to the altar, and people come to the altar. Maybe some of you may have done the same thing. Say, okay, you're standing back there, and the preacher's coming real hard, and God reveals a sin in your life that you need to take care of. You know, nobody else knows about this sin in your life except for you. And God says, you need to go get this taken care of. So you go down to the altar, and first thing we do is we pray that nobody comes down and helps us. Okay? I got this horrible thing in my life, and I do not want Brother and Sister Sherlocky to come talk to me. I definitely would not want one of the ministers, and especially do not want my mom and dad to come down and pray to me, because I've got this problem. So what happens typically, and I've seen this a lot, I'm sure Brother Decker has seen this a lot in altar work as well, is people come to the altar, and you go down and you say, well, what's the problem, brother? They'll say, I'm just not praying and reading enough.
Right.
Okay. Anybody ever said that? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever said that? I have. You don't want people to know what's going on in your life, so you just say, under your breath, I'm having a problem with my reading and praying. Kind of an easy cop-out, isn't it? Easier to get away from what the real problem is.
Sure.
Yeah. the easy answer is not the best answer most of the time. You know, when you go to the altar, God's dealing with you. We need to be honest.
Right.
You need to have trust in the people that are there to work with you at the altar. Brother Decker doesn't just let anybody get up and work with people at the altar. Not just anybody's going to be down there. He has people down there he trusts to counsel with you and to help you. And you should have faith and trust in them that they're just going to pray for you. They're going to help you carry that burden. They're going to try and help you get through it. You'll never get help in your life if you don't come to the grips with what the problem really is. I'm not saying praying and reading is not important. But usually if you're not praying and reading, there's another problem
that's
in place already. Okay? Uh-huh. Just being honest. You know, I know there are young people here. You know, if you spout off and yell at your mom or your dad, if anybody lets their kids get away with that nowadays, probably. You spout off your mom and dad, you don't really feel like being the one that prays over dinner that night, that's for certain, right? You're like, why is that? Why don't you? You don't feel like praying when you go to bed that night because you know you're not right. You know what you did was wrong. And it bothers you. And the first thing we do when something's really bothering us, of course, we step away from God, which is the worst thing we can do. We just turn our back to what the problem is. But what we need to get down to is, what is the problem? What is causing you to not pray? What's causing you not to read as you should? And it's usually some other issue, some other sin that you don't want to admit. You just don't want to admit to it. Let's be honest. Maybe you're watching something you shouldn't be watching. Maybe you're looking at something. How many people in here have internet on their phone? Just curious. How many people have internet on their phone? Okay, that's a lot. Very easy. So like pornography. Very easy. Very easy to get a hold of. Very easy.
Right.
When I was a young person, you know, you had to try and get into an adult bookstore if you wanted to get a hold of that stuff. Now it's right there at your fingertips. Let's be realistic, okay? Sexting is out of control. You said, this is the church of God, Brother Jeremy. This stuff's not going on around here. Come on. My kids were all raised in the church. Held to the same standard you were all held to.
Right.
I dealt with both of those issues with my kids. Sexting from one young person in the Church of God to another young person in the Church of God, sending naked pictures of each other and stuff like that. That sounds horrible. You think, well, I'd never do that. Get away from God. You don't know what you're going to do. It's amazing what you'll text to someone, you know. You'll text something. Like, you might really be in love, you know, with this guy. It's funny how you can text, I love you, a lot easier than you can say, I love you, to your face. You know what I mean? It's just easier to say things. And it goes the wrong way just as fast. Saying things you would never think of dreaming of saying in person that you'll say in a text. You might think we could deal with alcohol, smoking, drugs, sexual activity, homosexuality, all these things. You think, this is the Church of God, Brother Jeremy. What are you talking about? These are not, Church of God kids don't have these problems. Now, believe it or not, I was a Church of God young person. I wasn't raised in a church. I came to church when I was 20. So I started out my young people days as a 20-year-old. But these problems, a lot of these very same problems were prevalent when I was a young person. And I know this much, it's not better today than it was back then.
Right.
It's certainly not better.
Right, true.
We had those problems. Now, I don't know any of your specific problems. I don't know what's happening in your lives. But I know it's not better today. I know it's not better today. And it's certainly not easier. Be honest with your leaders. That's the first piece of advice I'll give you tonight. I want you to remember this. Be honest with your leaders. If you have a problem, If you've failed in any way, go to the leaders that God has placed over you and be honest. Don't try and wishy-wash it over. Don't try and say that it's, oh, I'm just not praying enough or I'm just not reading enough. If you have a problem and you know what it is, I don't know it, but you all know, be honest. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, each and every one of us at some point in our life. Be honest. That's how you're going to get the help. And it's like a clearing of yourself. You know, when you fail God and you have to finally tell somebody, like for myself, Brother Decker came to me and said, I heard this about you. And I said, it's true. And while I was grieved, I was so relieved. Because the weight of that thing, that weight of that sin just holds you down. It limits your life. Jump down to 11th verse. We're still in Romans, the 6th chapter. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield your members individually as instruments for God. The words you say should be instruments of righteousness.
Right.
For the things of God. The thoughts you have. Yeah. It's hard to purify your thoughts, isn't it? Let's be real. Those thoughts come in. Sometimes you can't stop them when they come in. But purify your thoughts. Drive them away.
That's right.
Let your members, your whole body, be instruments of righteousness.
Amen.
Playing around with sin is very dangerous. Don't be subject to the big lie. There'll be little consequences for your sin. I'll just drink a few beers now and then. I'll be the fun drunk. I'll be the life of the party. I won't be the one that gets a DUI. I won't be the one that kills somebody in a car accident. Those under the influence. It won't happen to me. I'll just watch a little porn. I won't get addicted to it. It won't affect my relationship with my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my husband or wife later. It won't affect me. Having sex, premarital sex, sounds fun. Romantic. Passionate. Exciting. I won't get pregnant. I won't be a single mom in poverty. It's not going to happen to me. Nobody ever thinks it's going to be them.
Amen.
There's a plaque up over here on the wall. Over there, when they did the recording, the youth choir recording. It's been quite a few years ago now. You look at that list. And it's troubling how many of those young people, that those ones that were young people at that time, are no longer in the church. Some of them have been subjected to very hard lives as a result of decisions they've made. Very hard choices. A lot of reaping involved in the lives, the choices we make. And this is a big group here today. I'm saying if we just be completely honest, there's probably some in this group that are going to end up being drunkards. Might be one here that might end up getting pregnant. Might be ones here that end up getting divorced, have terrible lives because of the decisions they've made. Might be some that end up in jail, on drugs. Might be some that have an abortion, have to deal with the mental anguish of that on their mind for the rest of their life. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Jeremy, that? I just gave you a bunch of examples of things that have happened to Church of God young people that I know.
Right.
Those are all things that have happened to people that were raised in this congregation and it's destroyed their lives. It's destroyed their lives. We have this thing where we think, I won't get caught. No one's going to know what I did. Look around. The ones in the past. The destruction. The drug addiction, the alcoholism, the broken homes.
Right.
Homosexuality. The addiction to cigarettes. Just, you name it. You name it. It's attached to a lot of people that used to sit right here. And it's very sad. Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 7th verse. That clock's not right, is it?
No.
So you only got 6 more hours. Galatians, the 6th chapter, the 7th verse says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit reap life everlasting."
Very good.
God has set certain laws in place that cannot be changed. And sowing and reaping is a big one. They cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. It doesn't matter how badly we want the seed to fail. It's coming. Doesn't matter. So often in my own mind, in my life, I wish the results of my sin wouldn't have been known. Wouldn't have came to pass. Wouldn't have affected other people. I can even hope and pray that my reaping will not continue. But it's coming anyhow. You say, "Well, Brother Jeremy, you're saved. You're saved today. Everything's wonderful." Listen, just because you get saved doesn't mean the reaping stops.
Right. Right.
Amen.
The reaping does not stop. The good news is that the real reaping is when you pass on from this life. And if you're saved, thank the Lord, you can get saved. And that when you die physically, those days of reaping are over. But in this life, the reaping continues. It doesn't matter how much I pray that it won't. It's still coming. You know, you think of a little white lie. Somebody might tell a little white lie. And nobody knows but you. You know, but it's a starting point for sin.
Right.
Nobody knows but you. And the good news is you can clear it up with God, and you can move on, and by very little reaping as a result. That's not where the devil stops. The reaping grows and grows and grows with the greater amount of the sin. And the deeper the sin, it's just a fact of life. The greater the reaping. Revelation 20th chapter. We'll keep your finger in Galatians before we come back to it. Revelation 20th chapter, verse 11. It says, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small, the small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Right.
And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works." Stop right there. The books of our lives are going to be open. Just like I said, starting out with, you can hide things from the young people. You can hide things from the pastor. But the book of your life is going to be open one of these days. And you're going to be judged for every act, everything you've done. See, that sounds horrible. You might think, "I'll just get saved. I'll repent. God's going to work it all out." You can repent. You can get saved. And God can work a lot of things out for you.
Right.
Thank the Lord for that. But those seeds, God will reveal every secret thing. You might think, oh, it won't happen to me. No one will know. I'll get saved. God will have mercy. Now, I can only speak for myself. I let sin overtake me. I walked away from God. And the reaping, it came like a whirlwind. It came like a whirlwind. The results of my sin brought me shame. It brought deep mourning to a place where I couldn't even forgive myself. I was like, I can't even forgive myself. How's God going to forgive me? Remember walking with Brother Stegmaier. He had talked to me many times before I got back to the Lord. And he told me over and over, you got to forgive yourself. How are you going to move on if you can't forgive yourself? It's hard. I had in my mind, you know, thoughts like I blew it. I squandered it. It took years to get back to the Lord. You snap your finger, 10 years is gone. I mean, you think you're young, you know, and you have your whole life. I mean, like that, 10 years are gone. The youngest in here is 13. I have young people. I don't know how old the youngest, oldest young person is in here, but probably in the early 20s. Early to mid-20s. So you figure, between the ages of 13 and 23 are perhaps the biggest decisions in your life you're going to make.
Right.
That's usually when you make a decision whether you're really going to serve the Lord or not. Get down to business with it to where you really know what you're doing. And I'm not saying you can't get saved when you're younger, but you're going to really get down to business in those years.
Right.
If you're going to do it. You're going to decide a career path. You're going to decide who you're going to be married to. All these giant decisions that are going to follow the rest of your life are going to happen in that space of time. Probably in that 10-year period of time.
Right.
And you can do great destruction. But just like that list of names on the board over there, it's like the decisions they've made have directed the paths into the horrible paths. The devil will get you down to a place where you feel like you can never get back. For me, I got so down. This is horrible to even say.
Right.
I got so down and so burdened with guilt and shame that I contemplated taking my life. To the place where I held a gun in my hand and I was ready to do it. At one time I took enough pills that it should have killed me. Or my wife had to jerk me up off the floor and says, you're going to call a squad if you don't get up. I couldn't move. I'd taken so much medication. I didn't want to live. That's what sin will do to you.
Amen.
But it starts with one little thing. I've done that. I had struggles in my life. And I was the one at the altar saying I wasn't praying and reading enough. But that wasn't the problem. That wasn't the problem. But I was too ashamed to admit what my problem was. I didn't want Brother Decker to know what I was struggling with. What's he going to think of me? I didn't want the youth leaders to know the thoughts I was having, the things that were tempting me. I didn't want anybody to know. So I thought I'll just fight it by myself. Guess what? Failed. I tell my kids this all the time, and I marvel how they don't listen to me. Use your resources. That's what I've always told my kids. Use your resources. Our second oldest, Devin, he is the king of using his resources. He is the only one of our kids that was the king. He had no problem becoming friends with a professor or a teacher at school, being the one doing everything he could to help himself.
Right.
Any resource he could gain. I have mom proofread his papers while he's in college. He'd email his papers home, have her proofread them, and send them back to him. The other ones, they'd about rather get an F than have somebody look at the paper. It just makes no sense to me sometimes. But we as Christians can do the same thing. We can feel like, I'm just going to do this on my own. He that thinketh you standeth, what's it say? Take heed, lest you fall.
Right?
Take heed, lest you fall. I don't think any of us really understand at this age the real despair of reaping. Sure, there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's no doubt about it. The wages of sin is death. Back to Galatians 6th chapter. I like these scriptures here. We're going to read Galatians 6, start all the way back up to the first verse. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one.
Yes.
In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'm thankful for the ones that helped bear my burden. Thankful for the ones that prayed for me, the one to see me restored. Sister Cummings wouldn't leave me alone. She just wouldn't leave me alone. I didn't want to bug me. I was really irritated when she got hold of my cell phone number. I'm not going to lie. I was like, I don't know. I told my wife, I don't know who gave her my cell phone number, but I am not happy about it. Because come revival, King Ming didn't matter. She's calling me saying, but Jeremy, we love you. I don't want to hear that. God can restore you.
Right.
God can use you.
That's right. Amen.
And of course, the devil's right there saying, you can never be restored. God's never going to be able to use you again. It's never going to happen. You've done too much damage. But right there in that scripture, restore such a one. The spirit of meekness, considering thyself. We should never look down on somebody that's failed or walked away from God.
Amen.
We should consider ourselves.
Right.
That could
right.
be me.
Amen.
That could be me, but for the grace of God.
Amen.
I thank God he had mercy on me, saved me. Give me a new life in Christ, Jesus. Thank the Lord. And thank you. Thankfully, when I stand before Christ, as Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Even though I continue to reap from my sin in this life, when I die, I lay down this flesh. The reaping will end. Can't wait. I mean, I'm not ready to die, but boy, I'll sure be glad when the reaping stops. I'll sure be glad. The reaping on this earth will continue. It will continue. That's my burden to bear. It's affected me, it's affected my wife, it's affected my children. It's terrible. It really is. So what's the answer? What do you do?
Right.
What do you do? Galatians 6th chapter. Stay right there. Verse 7. Again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So what's the answer? I don't want to be all gloom and doom. Say, Brother Jeremy, this is so depressing, you're going to reap the rest of your life. It's terrible. That's not the end of the story. Yeah, I have seeds in the ground. And I do some farming in the real world, you know. I do some farming, put some seeds in the ground every year. Just because I have some seeds in there that weren't no good, doesn't mean I have to quit selling seeds. My plan, this is my plan. I want to sow so many good seeds. I want to see such a good reaping. That's hard to see. These seeds that are over here trying to distract me from the things of God.
Yes.
I want to focus on the good seed. The beauty as a young person is you are young. It's a wonderful thing to be young. You have not yet had a lot of time to destroy your lives. Okay? So, do as a wise man does. Plant good seeds. Couples, we have several here that are dating going to be married. Sow good seeds. Keep your relationships pure with each other. You're going to reap if you don't. You cross the line now when you're dating, it's going to be hard for God to bless over top of that. You're going to have struggles in your marriage. Keep it pure for God. Keep it pure. Every aspect of your life, every decision you make, you need to consider the reaping. You need to consider what that seed is. How bad is the result of that seed going to be? You might think this one little seed, it's not going to take you down. I was wrapped up in a bunch of things. Just one thing, one incident took me down. 10 years of my life. One decision. I seen a post on Facebook somebody put on there, said if you had you could choose. I wish it was this easy. If you could choose, I forget what they all were, but one was like $100 million. If you could choose something else, or if you could choose a time machine. That was the other one. That's the one that jumped out to me. Now, I want a time machine. I would choose a time machine in a heartbeat. $100 million would do me no good. But if I could go back in time and change things, would I change things? Yes, I'd change things.
Sure.
I would have to make different decisions. But the devil, he is going to blind you in the situations you're in. He's going to so make you overcome with passion and lust and pride, whatever the thing may be. And you'll take your eyes completely off God and you'll run about just sowing seeds. So go about your life sowing good seeds. Every day.
Right.
Somebody was saying this morning, old brother Don Roy was saying this morning in the song service, let's go through the drive-thru. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Sow a little seed. You can go through and say, these fries are ice cold. Man, 50 cars in front of me. What's the hold up? Does that sound good to you? That's just a small thing. Sow seeds every day. Everything you do. Am I saying praying and reading is not a shortcoming in a lot of people's lives? No, it's a huge shortcoming in a lot of people's lives. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray and read. You should pray and read and pray and pray and pray and pray. And study. Study. The good news is that God loves you. When He speaks to you about some sin in your life, no matter how small, it might seem like a really small sin. The devil will tell you it doesn't matter. I don't need to tell anybody about that. I don't need to talk to you youth leaders about that. I say work it out. Get it resolved. Learn from it. Be tender. Be tender. He'll take care of the small issues in your life. You'll be less likely to face major reaping that results in deep sin. Fix the little things now. Take care of your soul now while you're young. Trust me, you don't want to be reaping. I'm not that old. I'm only 48. I don't know how long I'll live. I mean, we all say we'd like to live to be 100. I don't think I really want to live to be 100, to be honest with you. But even if I live to be 70, that's a lot more reaping I got to go through. A lot more out ahead of me. So, all right? So good seeds. So good seeds. So good seeds.
Right.
I pray each one of you will stay close to God. It grieves me when I look over this audience and I think that and I'm looking at the face. I'm looking at every face. I'm trying to look at each and every one of you. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, some of you, 10 years from now, total destruction. Your life could be a total disaster. You could be bound with drugs. You could be bound in sin. You could be in a broken marriage. You could be a single mom. I mean, it could be just total destruction in your life. And most likely there will be some. But it doesn't have to be that way. Every single one of you, everyone in this room, has an opportunity to live for God.
Amen.
Every one of you are blessed.
Right.
That parents that'll drag you to church.
Right.
Even when you don't want to go.
Right.
Drag you along. Make you go to Sunday school when you don't feel like getting up early. Make you pray, make you read. You've been blessed with those things.
Right.
You've been blessed to sit under the gospel and hear the truth. To find a path weekly. Come in Wednesday night, get recharged.
Amen.
Sunday morning, that message is just for you. I think of the day of Pentecost when Peter spoke and everybody heard in their own language. It's amazing. Isn't it a miracle how that happened that day? He spoke. He didn't speak in thousands of different languages, but everybody heard. And it's still like that today.
Amen.
I like to say that the sermons are like that. Brother Decker will get up and preach it. And it's like he's speaking in 1,000 different languages. Because I heard something for me.
Right.
And I asked my wife, what did you get on the message? She got something totally, I didn't even hear that. What are you talking about? She didn't hear that. I heard something totally different. What'd you hear? Speaking to everybody.
Amen. That's right.
And we have that opportunity every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, camp meetings, revival efforts. I mean, there's so many opportunities that you have to get it really established, to really dig into things of God, and to take what you learn and plant those seeds. Plant them. So you might be successful in your lives. I pray 10 years from now we'll come back and see every one of you serving God. Raising your family in the church. Raising your kids. 10 years from now, some of you will have kids that are singing up there on the steps with all the rest of the little kids. I mean, it just happens that fast. It's amazing. It happens fast. In no time. No time. So choose wisely. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. It's down to just pretty much me and my wife in our house. You know, I wish my children were saved. I pray for them daily, more than daily. It keeps me up half the night, just to be honest with you. Pray.
pray you all make good decisions. I pray you plant good seeds in your life. I pray you determine in your heart you're going to serve God no matter what comes my way. No matter how mean,
sometimes young people can be mean, even to each other.
No matter how bad it can even get, even amongst a church family, that we determine we're going to live for God regardless.
Right.
That we'll love each other. As that scripture in Galatians said, that we'll bear one another's burdens.
Right.
We'll help each other along the way. We can do a great work. And I'm just looking out here. I don't want to keep talking just to talk. I run out of time. If we look at this group right here, every one of you get married and have a good Church of God family, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9 kids, whatever. Depending on the family. Look at the size of the work that could be done. Look at how the kingdom could grow. The children there, they're the fruit of the future, you know. Choose wisely so you can extend the kingdom of God even further.